Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Let's Watch podcast. I'm your host, James, with my co-host, Carolyn.
Hello.
And today we are talking about Summer of Soul, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised, the Questlove documentary that came out.
Yep.
And Carolyn has the synopsis.
I do. Summer of Soul, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised, is a feature documentary about the legendary 1969 Harlem Cultural Festival, which celebrated African-American music and culture and promoted Black pride and unity.
Yes. So all I knew about this movie going in was that it was like a concert doc.
Yeah.
And that it was like old footage that had been lost and had been found. And I was like, okay, well, like...
For like 50 years or something, hey?
Yeah, I was like, bare minimum going in, like, I had no idea who, like, X or anything. I was like, bare minimum going in, it will be, like, cool to just see, like, an old concert or anything. And I was like, well, it's with Questlove, so it's probably around, like, another assumption. And I was like, well, Questlove is directing this, then there's probably some social issue attached to this as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not going to be just like, yo, this music was sick. And I was like, worst case, that's what it will be. But
yeah, worst case, it's going to be good music. Best case, it's going to actually do more than that. And it was more than just a concert doc, which I actually really appreciated.
Yeah. Also, the footage is very well maintained and filmed.
And it sounds really good, too.
Oh, it sounds incredible. At some points, I was like, is this the sound directly from the concert? Or are they, like, putting a recording of the song over in some places? Mm-hmm. Because I was just like, because it's shot on film, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't record audio on film?
I think you can.
Oh, you can? I don't know, because I'm an idiot.
I don't
know
either.
I was like, but they also could have just had, like, the tapes recorded as well, and then just sync it up in post. So I was like, when I was seeing it, I was like, man, they shot this on film, and whoever was doing this was, like, doing a good job. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just, like, my thought was, like, maybe it was, like, somebody in the crowd was filming, and I was like, oh, this is going to be, like, barf-inducing, because it's going to be, like, shaky the whole time. So that blew me, and then, like, the movie starts... with Stevie Wonder, a young Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, without his dreads, because that's when I knew him best, the dread face.
I know! Young Stevie, and I was like, wow. And then it starts, and it's just specifically about the music. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. And then, as the movie progresses, it, like, slowly just, like, fills in more of the time as the acts go on.
This movie, it's interesting, because, it starts with just the music, and you're like, okay, it's a concert. And then they do this really fast-paced snapshot of the cultural climate, all driven by the beat of Stevie Wonder's drums. And I was like, okay, this will be something else, you know?
When he comes back again, when they show him again, the second time Stevie Wonder,
Yeah.
And then they do that, and then they get into a full section of, like, gospel was at this was at this concert, and, like, they tied into, like, what religion played with African-Americans, and, like, Reverend Jesse Jackson was there and did a sermon, essentially. And they have him talking about it, and they, like, slowly, like, morph this into, like, this movie is about, like, the cultural climate of the time and then relating it to present day, which I think is very effective and very well done. And it becomes a movie that's about this music still. But then, as you know, what good documentaries do, or documentaries that want to do this, they show you how it relates to modern day still.
I appreciated that it was still, like, about then. Like, it wasn't, like, hitting you over the head, like, and you can directly compare it to these days, but you're right in that it was, like, they do get into the whole gospel section. And it's cool because it definitely talks about the issues then and the issues now, but it's also just a celebration of Black culture. And it shows the roots of some of the music in that culture. All the way from talking about African spirit possession to, like, taking back Hair and making the charts with the musical from the music from the musical Hair, and sort of like taking over white music, and then gospel in an increasingly secular world. They cover all of that, which is really interesting. And I think what they did really successfully is they did some discussion about the culture and whatnot, but they also, some of the songs, they just let you listen to the whole song, and they let you, like, have the music wash over you, and kind of feel a fraction of what the people in the crowd might have been feeling. So I thought it was a good mix of, you know, using the music as a backdrop for this time and for, you know, relating it to current times, but also just, like, just watching the music play, you know, like that, that five person group, the Fifth Harmony, I want to call it.
Were they saying the Age of Aquarius?
Yeah, but they actually just let you like listen to the most of that song, you know?
Yeah, they did. And but I think one of the movie's strongest points is with a couple of the members when they see themselves performing there.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie does it. They do this continually is when they cut back to like if the people are in the movie in their current day form. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my God, they're all so old. Mm-hmm. And how much time has passed and like their reactions to them playing are very good, especially that band because they get so emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And choked up and explain how they just wanted to be like accepted. Because
well, that's something the movie did really well too, without like blatantly saying it, but like it talked a lot about the like us and them kind of thing. And mm-hmm. the us and them throughout the movie was not like black versus white. In that case, it was like these people doing music and they're the black community not accepting them. Mm-hmm. And then there was the gospel people who were excommunicated for wanting to share Oh Happy Day to like bring that joyful message to other people, and then their own church kick them out. So it's all about, yeah, identity and not being accepted for your identity, often by the people who you would think should be the most accepting of your identity. So it's really, yeah, really quite interesting in that sense.
Yeah, I think Questlove does a really good job with that, is that I think in media, a lot of the times ethnic groups are like lumped together as one complete total group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how people are thought of. Is that they're like a unified people on everything, when in reality with everybody there's going to be like separate little groups in everything. And the movie does a good job like showing all those, like showing that in this time, and like how they all try to interact with each other and the wanting to be accepted by like the greater community, or like feeling at least acknowledged by them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what impressed me the most with this film, is that like I like Questlove, I like his music, I think he's a cool guy. Mm-hmm. And he's every time I've heard him, I've never seen anything else he's directed, but I was just like, I just didn't know how good the direction would be in this film. And I think that's what I took away from most from it, is that it is like really, really well directed. It's like,
yeah, I'm very impressed with that. Like, has he done
a lot of other things?
I don't think so. He has 3 directing credits I'm seeing now. So this one and 2 music videos
for Mary J. Blige and The Roots, there. So it's like, considering this is his feature length debut, and obviously like the man has been around media for mm-hmm. a large
man, he must have had some help, like good producers and like
great editors, like that. But he does a really good, and he doesn't put himself in the movie either.
No.
You hear his voice, I think, like twice.
Yeah, but I didn't even notice that, honestly.
No, the only way I noticed is I watched with subs, and it says there, but he does a really, really good job directing it. I think this movie is great.
Mm-hmm.
It does take and this is a personal issue, and this is not on the movie, but as I've said many times, it's hard for me to retain any of the lyrics when songs are playing. So mm-hmm. I miss out on, unless I'm like specifically focusing on what the person is saying, but then I'm so specifically focusing on that I miss everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm sure they did moments when like the song that they picked to play in a moment was like very prescient to what they were talking about, and I just continually miss that stuff all the time.
But what is good is that like, I feel like with a lot of the music and a lot of the times that they just let the music play, it was about the tone of the music, and you could feel the soul in the music.
They would show the person singing mm-hmm. all the time. Like they have the I'm forgetting the name, Mavis Stapleton, and who is the woman she sings with, who she's like,
oh, I don't remember, the young one, right?
No, the young one is Mavis, the right. older woman. Like when they're talking about Martin Luther King Jr.'s death.
Mahalia Jackson, perhaps?
Yeah, and those two sing a song together mm-hmm. after Jesse Jackson talks about it. Mm-hmm. And it's a very emotional moment in the movie. And like the person who shot that at the time just like kept the camera on their faces the entire time while they were singing, and like mm-hmm. slowly zoomed in. And I was just like, how is this? It was like, first of all, that's like a very good direction just to like leave that there in the documentary. And it's like, you understand the moment through these two women.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, how was this footage lost for this long if this was well shot? Like, this is...
Well, but also, they actively said in the movie that they were like, oh, we need to go film this. Oh, it's going to be difficult. We need to film it with the lighting this way. I'm like, someone put a lot of care into filming it. What happened?
and storing it, like, that they found all this footage on film and it wasn't ruined.
Yeah. I'm wondering, like, I mean, it was a pretty tense time. Maybe a bunch of stuff happened right after that was more important, you know?
Yeah,
like that it they is, were like, oh, crap, gotta go do this, you know?
It does take place in 69 and something that I assume a lot of people did not know happened. Like, I didn't either. I also think that's partly because it has been so long and the majority of people watching this were not alive during that time. Like, I had no idea this happened. And Carolyn and I are old people on the internet. relatively speaking, but they do a really good job of, like, as this movie started like expanding its scope, I was worried that it was going to become like they were going to try to cover too much in a short movie about music, essentially, and they don't. I think they nail everything they want to touch on. They have they have great segments where they like talk about the stuff that happened in 1969 is, when you think back on it, is like insane, because it was during when the astronauts were landing on the moon.
Yep.
And I was like, what? This was the same time? Yep. And then they started talking to the people there, and it's just like, you know, people say the same thing now, and it's just the same stuff, and it's all like they just touch on the stuff and then they like let you.
Well, that's, yeah, it remained about the music. The music was the anchoring point the whole time, because the whole movie is about, it's not like, oh, look at all the crazy stuff that was happening in 1969. It's look at this amazing concert / cultural festival that was like, look how important it was for the people. And they always kept tying it back to the music and the celebration of Black culture. You're right, they would say a few things which I think really added to it, because it gives you an idea of the climate. Like, there was something they said, I think it was sort of near the beginning, where someone said they had always associated summertime with the potential for violence, and then they move on and they're like, oh, it was great that there was this concert. But it's so interesting, especially when you think later in the movie that someone says, I think they just put this on to prevent us from burning the city. And it's fascinating that there's two perspectives, or like reasons, behind why this concert happened. And one is that it was to prevent Black folk from burning the city, and the other one is that people just really needed something positive. And on the outset, those look like two very different reasons, but also they're not. It's the same reason. Like, this is a group of people who have been mistreated, and I mean, this was the civil rights movement, right? Like, this was about being proud of who you are and needing to feel that pride and having something that says, look, you should be proud. And that's what this concert was. But when you feel that joy and pride and sense of self, maybe you're less likely to feel dissatisfied and like the world is out to get you, in a world that is out to get you.
Yeah. And that's the best part about this movie, other than the music, is that they're able to convey that message in a very brief amount of time without taking the focus away from the festival. Is that they fill in the world around you so you understand why, how important this festival was at that time. And they basically like just surround, they just build the world around it in very quick little moments. Or even while they're talking about the music, and I think that's what makes this so impressive, is like, that's just good filmmaking right there. And then put on top, like, the absolute it felt like every person that came up on stage was just like, oh God, this person played this concert.
Everyone, what? Honestly.
It's like, it's like, oh, this is like a legendary artist. And you're like, what the hell? And it's just like, oh, here's another one. And eventually just like stopped getting, be like, this person was there? This person was there? And even if you don't recognize them, it's like, oh, it's this song. This is this song that this band is famous for.
That's the thing. I was talking to my mom about this, and she was like, oh, it's helpful because I'm old and I know all the music. And I was like, no, but mom, I knew all the music too. And she was kind of saying that that's because these songs weren't necessarily famous at the time, but they have since become classics and become like anthems of the movement, you know? Whereas some of them, well, like Oh Happy Day, that's a song that everyone knows, but it seems like this is the first time that it was sang in a non-religious location, you know?
Yeah, and they, I mean, we've touched on it briefly with like some of the artists that were there, and I don't have the full list in front of me, unfortunately, but
it's because the list is very long.
Very long, but they have, I mean, the movie, like, the one of the last artists you see in the movie is Nina Simone.
Yeah.
And when she, like, that she pops up for, like, the last 20 minutes, really, is they kind of end the film with her.
Yeah.
And when she pops up, you're like, oh, my God. So they, like, literally had everybody. Because I was watching and I was like, I was running through my head. I was like, because it's like they pull up all these people, like more and more people are coming in. Or like, they've like, I was like, who are like, I was like, who else could be there? And I was
Who's left? Like,
who's left? I was trying to think through my head and I was like, I don't know these people's ages, but would Nina Simone be of the age to be there? I was like, she would be alive, but I don't know how old she was. And I didn't want to Google it to spoil it for myself. And then she pops up. And of course, the Nina Simone performance is incredible. It's so good. And they end the movie with, that's the running into the end of the movie is with her performance. And it's just the fact that it, like, I think we've said this multiple times, but the bare minimum you're going to take from this documentary is you're going to see these live performances from 1969 of these legendary artists or these incredible songs. And they just play them for you and they're all good. And it's really, it's amazing to watch, really. It's like not boring. As somebody who's like not super into music docs generally.
This is a good music doc.
Yeah, I find they cover the same ground the whole time. And it's like, oh, we didn't know if we were going to be able to play because of these things, but then this one's not it. But like the music in this one is like really, really good. It's yeah, I really like this movie.
Me too.
I have like no criticism of it, essentially. Like I don't see how they could make this film better.
No, and honestly, like, I was, you know, watching it and writing my notes and whatever, and then it hit a point where I was just listening to the music, you know? Like, I was just having a nice time, like, listening to some good music, you know?
Yeah, and then they would, yeah, me too, and then it would be, like, they related to current day, and I was like, man, imagine if we still lived like that.
Yeah.
But then it also, like, I don't want to spoil the ending, because I think people should watch it, and I think the ending is very well done. But they do end it in a way that is, I guess, bittersweet. And it really well. And I don't know if Questlove is going to direct anything else, but I would like him to if he wants to.
It seems kind of like he needs it to be like the perfect project that like speaks to him, which is fair.
Well, okay. That's a great, if you are at a level where you can do that for your, self, that's incredible.
Yep.
And all and, last thing I want to add is that they also cover like Carolyn said, like they had like there is African music in this at this festival as well, and there are artists from Africa performing, and they briefly touch on the apartheid and how people from South Africa fled to the States. And that was something I was not very aware of because it's so long ago and it's not really talked about. And I really liked that in this movie that they touched on that. And whenever they go to the Talking Heads and there are these old people and they're getting emotional, it's hard not to get emotional with them because mortality.
But also they didn't seem sad. Like they seemed to look back on it fondly, which I really liked.
Or how important this moment was for them.
Exactly. Like it seemed like a pivotal kind of thing. And all of them were looking back on it, yeah, fondly, and not like, oh, my youth. I miss my youth, you know? So it was really nice. And it was like they were still so proud of that. And I think proud of how far everything has come, maybe.
Yeah. So. I think so as well. And also, I hope to look as good in my 50s as Moussa Jackson.
man, a lot of those people look pretty dang good. And I was like, guys, it's been 50 years.
I know. And some of them, they're like, oh, this person's like in their 80s. Yeah. It's like they cut from this like young, youthful body to like a grandma. And you're like, oh, my God, this is my future. And then other times they cut, like the one I referenced, Bruce Jackson, is the guy who's like, I was a kid. And then you show him and you're like, how old are you? You look like you're in your 40s, but if you're a kid in 69, you have to be in your at least mid 50s.
Yeah.
And you look incredible. And then I he's on the IMDb and open up and I was like, oh, you're an actor. Oh, okay. I see now. That's why. But no, I really like this movie. It's free on Disney Plus if you have it.
Yeah. It's, and I think it's on Hulu too.
It is on Hulu in the US. You should watch this film. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you, Carolyn?
Me? At Carolyn Dunk 93. On all the platforms. And how about you?
You find me everywhere at James Willicks, up on Twitter where the O is a zero. You can send it an email at letswatchpod@gmail.com. And the next movie we're going to talk about in a 3-hour podcast is Dune. I'm very excited.
This is not going to be a 3-hour podcast.
We have a lot to talk about.
You have a lot to talk about.
Boy.